There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve edition of the show. And a lot of ways to get, well, a few ways to get in touch with the show. And most efficient would be a phone call or a text. And you can do those by using the following number. The number is 343-0106. What's that number once again? That number, once again, 343-0106, gets you through on a call or text. And if you're using the FM Talk 106.5 app, you have the additional way to get in touch by using one of those talkback messages. Just press the microphone icon right there on the front page of the screen, record your message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on there. All right, I just mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, coming up in just a little bit, my buddy John Young, Men United Against Violence, our dear leader, well, he and Drew Ford, our leader of our group, and we're going to talk about, you know, I played that clip yesterday of Sheriff Birch from the press conference where he was talking about the four children, youths, that not only evaded or trying to evade a sheriff's deputy a week ago tomorrow, last Friday, also decided to start shooting at him as well. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit with John. Also, Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap joins us in hour number two. Lots to talk about with him in the light of the runoff election on Tuesday and a lot more. I do want to start off with some national news. You know, I do a lot of local, but sometimes the national news will move to the top of the stack here. And we will get to the latest from the presser from Cash Patel and the FBI on the shooter there, the killer in Dallas. But first, two stories got my attention. This one, I just knew it would happen. I knew it would be. It was too. Remember how I got excited about Doge and that coming in and what could be done to try to make our government more efficient. Quit wasting money. You know, I mean, provide services. I wasn't even talking about getting rid of services, just making sure we're doing it efficiently. And I said, oh, it's going to be so great, but I was worried. Like I said, anytime I like a, if I like a TV show, they're going to cancel it. If I like a kind of tennis shoes, except for I got a new, my old man New Balance, they keep making. But, you know, if I like a new pair of tennis shoes, they're going to quit making them. And I had this fear about Doge, and people were like, no, this is going to work. Has it really? So Elon's out, right? Here's a story from the AP. I think this came out yesterday. Hundreds of federal employees who lost their jobs in the Elon Musk cost-cutting blitz are being asked to return to work. Here we go. General Services Administration had given the employees who manage government workspaces until the end of the week to accept or decline reinstatement, according to an internal memo obtained by the Associated Press. Those who accept must report for duty on October 6th after what amounts to a seven-month paid vacation. Now, keep this in mind as we come up to we'll be at another precipice, right? Are we going to shut down the government? It's going to be another budget. We do this stuff with such regularity. It's lost its teeth, in my opinion. And when they shut down the government, they'll say, okay, we'll only pay for essential workers. Every time that has happened, you know, people come out and say, well, these people are going to, these people through no fault of their own are, you know, losing their money. And sure, at a certain period of time, they're not getting paid. But in every time we've had a government shutdown, the people who didn't get paid got paid when they got back to work. Remember that? Pick the president, pick the party in power. This happened every time. Here's this Doge thing. they're going to really get everything right-sized and come in there and some fiscal, my God, Republicans talking about fiscal conservatism, man, it was awesome. So the internal memo that said, hey, people that were let go by the Doge cuts can all come back to work if they choose to after they've had a seven-month vacation. Seven-month paid vacation, during which time the GSA in some cases racked up as high cost passed along to taxpayers to stay in dozens of property whose leases had slated for termination or allowed to expire because you had them running these buildings. A GSA comes out to say ultimately the outcome was the agency was left broken and understaffed. They didn't have the people they needed to carry out the basic functions, end quote. This guy, Chad Becker, was a former GSA real estate official, said he represents owners with government leases at Arco Real Estate Solutions, so obviously he has a dog in the hunt, has an angle on this. So GSA has been in triage mode for months. He said the sudden reversal of downsizing reflects how Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency had gone too far too fast. Remember, we talked about that, too, that I wasn't all for the axe, even though I'm over the moon about the idea of fiscal conservatism hitting Washington. I said, hey, we need to do this with a scalpel and then cut some more to make sure you don't cut too much. In this case, all those cuts, these people who were let go by the Doge are all coming back to work and all getting paid for the time they didn't work. Throw me in that briar patch, please. Said critical to the work of such agencies as the GSA, which manages many of the buildings. Starting in March, thousands of GSA employees left the agency as part of programs that encouraged them to resign or take early retirement. Y'all remember that. Hundreds of others, those subjected to the recall notice, were dismissed as part of an aggressive push to reduce the size of the federal workforce. Though those employees did not show up for work, they continued to get paid. When can we get out of our own dang way? Republicans in control, and we can't do any better than this. I mean, when I'm not going to believe ever. I mean, I knew it. It was too good to be true. Musk was going to do. What have we accomplished here? So GSA representatives didn't respond to detailed questions about the return to work notice, which was issued on Friday. They also declined to discuss the agency's headcount, staffing decisions, and the potential cost overruns now generated by reversing its plan to terminate leases. So, in other words, in doing this, it didn't save any money. It actually cost the taxpayers more money. So Doge identified the agency, which had about 12,000 employees at the start of the Trump administration, as a chief target of its campaign to reduce fraud, waste, and abuse in the federal government. All right, here we go. And now the back end is going to cost more money. It's just the Doge idea sitting there on a shelf, a bookshelf, is great. You put it into implementation in Washington, and this is what you get. All right, so that's story number one, and we can talk about that on the text line. Story number two, if you've seen this, don't know what is happening. They're not letting us know, but they are leaking that it's happening, which is interesting to me. So SecDef, Pete Hegseth, has called, here's the headline, says, orders rare and urgent meeting of hundreds of generals and admirals. This from MSN.com. Said Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered hundreds of the U.S. military generals and admirals to gather on short notice and without a stated reason at a Marine Corps base in Virginia next week. Why the heck are we letting them know where they're all going? I mean, tactically, it doesn't seem to be smart. It says, sowing confusion and alarm after the Trump administration's firing of numerous senior leaders this year. The highly unusual directive was sent to virtually all of the military's top commanders worldwide, according to more than a dozen people familiar with the matter. You know another thing that doesn't happen in Washington? Nobody can, what the days of keeping your mouth shut. I mean, no one, I don't care what president, what administration, what nobody could, like, that's why I don't believe in all the conspiracy theories. There's all these, now, some of them out there end up being true, but some of these really widely spread conspiracy theories that have all these players in the mix, and they're all, this is doing this, and there's hundreds of people in on it. They can't shut up about this. A meeting with the top military brass all in one place. said the highly unusual directive was sent to virtually all the military's top commanders worldwide, according to more than a dozen people familiar with the matter. The directive was issued earlier this week as a government shutdown looms and months after Hegseth's team at the Pentagon announced plans to undertake a sweeping consolidation of the top military commands. In the statement today, Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell affirmed that Hegseth will, quote, be addressing his senior military leaders early next week, but offered no additional details. Parnell's senior advisor to the defense secretary voiced no concerns about the reporting of the meeting scheduled for Tuesday in Quantico, Virginia. Now, unless they're baiting the bad guys into something, it seems like something from a Bond movie. We have all the world's military leaders in one place, and we will use a laser. We'll take a breath, go to the news, and come back. And once again, as this sinks in, so the Doge cuts at GSA are actually costing us more money than doing nothing would have. Rest in R.I.P. R.L. Burnside. All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Got a new shipment of the off-road e-bikes in. And I'll tell you about those. Also, I want to direct you, if you'll go to adventure-earth.com, his website. He's got a e-bike guide, everything you need to know about electric bikes. So if you're interested in this, now, the most fun is to go talk to my friend in person. He can guide you through it. But if you're trying to decide, hey, is e-bike something I want to do? Why would I use it? You know, different. It's all on this guide. And I've pointed out, you know, how I use my e-bike. And it started off with, you know, using it in the woods to hunt, you know, in turkey season, and then became kind of a part of my lifestyle, riding it. And yes, I ride it in a modified mode where I do a lot of the pedaling so I get more exercise, you know, more days, more riding. But you can use them just in the woods. You can use them, when I, like, stay down at the campground, right, take my camper places. People have their e-bikes with them, using it for that. I know a guy who commutes to work, gets his bike ride in the morning. He goes to work wearing his regular work clothes and uses the electric function on the bike so he's not sweating when he gets to work. He changes into gym clothes and pedal pushes it back to the house each day so he gets extra. Kind of cool. But right now, if you're looking what's new at the shop, I got the email here recently from Clint. Said, hey, I just got a shipment of the Fat Tire e-bikes update for hunting season. The Mock Wheel Obsidian 2.0 with the 750-watt motor. It's Fat Tire hunting e-bike with a full suspension. It's in camo, which, by the way, the full suspension. I got mine too early. I got all the great suspension on the frame, but I got a regular seat post. My buddy and co-host for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, Mike Ward, got his with it's like a shock. It's a piston shock. Actually, several of y'all have texted in and said, oh, I got the same one. It's got like a piston shock in the seat, so it's awesome. They've got those. Also, Denago's Fat Tire e-hunt bike in OD green and black in time for hunting season. And he's got all the stuff that goes on your bikes, too, whether you're using a regular Amish bike, as he calls it, a non-electric bike in the woods, or an e-bike. He's got the shotgun, rifle, bow holders for your bike. Also, pistol holders mount to the bike frame as well. You can get water bottle mounts. You get panniers, secure your gear. All that stuff goes with the bike. You see them in person at Adventure Earth Bicycles. They are in Midtown at Little Flower and Airport. They're online. Like I said, go see the little e-bike guide if you'd like to go through that at adventure-earth.com. Right, I grab a couple texts here, and then I hit one more story before John gets in here. This texter said, sounds like it wasn't that much bloat. Here's the problem, texter. I think it was, but they tried to cut big pieces of the federal government. I think if I'm doing that, and this is kind of where this is my jam, as they say, right? Trying to look for efficiencies. Efficiencies don't mean everybody loses their jobs, you close down national parks. But there's waste going on. And what I get so ticked off about, too, is people say, well, the waste is not going to it's not going to add up to anything. It's not going to be, you know, it'll be $600-700 billion. Okay. Let's get rid of that. That's real money in my world. So they go through this move at GSA, and now all these people are coming back to work, and it's going to cost more money. This is just frustrating. And you take a good idea, let Washington get it, and you end up with this crap. Right, Terry says, Sean, the shootings at the ICE facilities are just a continuation of the violence that is based in politicians and talking heads calling federal agents Gestapo and terrorist. Antifa-type groups have been attacking federal agents in Portland, Oregon for over 100 days, and that's now spreading to Chicago and other cities. And Dalton has been the call-out on this. I mean, just this week, a story from out in Oregon that's getting, like, no coverage, except from Dalton. Thank you. As long as the legacy media and people give tacit approval to these politicians and violent groups, you can expect the terror attacks to continue and expand. So Kash Patel, in the presser today, said the suspect in the shooting at the Immigration Customs Enforcement ICE detention facility in Texas the day before had engaged in a high degree of planning before the attack. I still don't know who's, there's a lot of questions. People say, well, look at it one way. He's just a bad shot. He's trying to shoot ICE agents and shot the detainees. Other people say he's trying to shoot the detainees, but so Patel says the alleged perpetrator downloaded a document titled Dallas County Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management containing a list of Department of Homeland Security facilities. The shooting occurred early yesterday at the facility in Dallas with a spray of bullets fired from a rooftop hitting a building and an ICE transportation van, killing one ICE detainee who was inside the vehicle, badly injuring two others. No ICE staff were hit in the attack. All right, and we talked about the suspect yesterday. I'm not going to give his name anymore. Patel said today that the suspect conducted multiple searches of ballistics, and you want to talk about something chilling? The Charlie Kirk shot video. He's been searching that over recent days. Patel further posted of the suspect that between August 19th and August 24th, he searched for apps that track the presence of ICE agents. Have y'all seen this? We know that there's a... I didn't know that was a thing. I don't know how it tracks them, but it's a app that tracks the presence of ICE agents. I mean, is it like Bilbo's sword staying glowing when the orcs are nearby? What is this? So one of the handwritten notes recovered said, hopefully this will give ICE agents real terror to think, is there a sniper about to fire from the roof? This is what they say is on the notes from this guy. Patel said, further accumulated evidence to this point indicates a high degree of pre-attack planning. Now, I mean, he was doing, like, I guess, ballistics charts and all that, searching beforehand. I mean, this is, once again, too, ICE agents are enforcing the law of the land that's supported by the people, right? But they're going to go shoot them. But in this case, too, the would-be ended up killing the detainees, not the ICE agents. So, and I still do have questions about motivations of this thing. Just because, I'm not saying it's not true, but just because they write anti-ICE messages on the brass of the ammunition, shouldn't immediately say that's, I mean, if I'm trying to, I mean, y'all get it. I mean, you're trying to do it a different way. You say, you write something there that leads people the wrong way on who they're searching for. All right. Fire Dog said, sent me a link to a story. Britain now has more parking enforcers than soldiers. So maybe this is why Hegseth calls in the brass. But Fire Dog, you're in this world. You know this stuff. I mean, tactically, would you call all the brass to Quantico, Virginia, and then tell our enemies globally, hey, all our top military officials are in one place at one time? Doesn't that seem like kind of like a plot from a James Bond movie? Leo says there's an app that lets you report both police and ICE agents' locations on a map. I forget the name. Is it like when on Google Maps will show you law enforcement ahead, debris in the road? I imagine that I didn't know there was an app out there that does that. Which, by the way, Jerry, that app we've been talking about, I have Carolyn Dobson on the show next week. I'm going to ask her about it. All right. Terry 3 says social media is spreading these mass shooters' method of operation, i.e., monkey see, monkey do. The roof thing, I mean, it's honestly, it's like anywhere there's a roof in the United States, you got to start looking for a shooter. Well, all right. We'll get some of these texts later on, coming up in just a couple minutes. You know him from tonight in Mobile, Mr. Mobile John Young. Also, on occasion, we'll come see his buddy on Midday Mobile, and he's going to do it when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. 343-0106, 343-0106 for a call or a text. And reminder, too, with the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can always leave one of those talkback messages for any of the shows. This show, maybe it's a Monday night, and you're listening to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, John Young, and you want to leave a talkback message, just make sure Philip knows to, or the Mad Hatter knows to press that, right? John, good to see you.
Good seeing you too, Sean.
Why is that mic not on? I don't know. Get your mic closer. There you go. There, no, there it is. There, you're fine. You're on. Yeah.
All right.
Had to press other buttons in here. Good to see you.
I need to speak louder.
No, you don't. You get the... most resonant and distinct voice in the city of Mobile. You don't. You're good. You know, and I was listening to the show, and people can go back. If they don't catch the show live, you can always go back in the archives and in our podcast and listen to it. Very interesting show on Monday night as well. I enjoyed that. You're talking to Donnie...
Warren.
Warren.
Yeah.
And was Donnie come from where? What world?
He and I have known each other several years. He's retired now, I believe. But he talked about his daughter Amber, who was shot and killed by a BB gun almost 20 years ago. And she, organ donation, her donated organ saved three lives, he said. But that also compelled him to begin talking to kids at Strickland Youth Center.
Right.
Trying to inspire them to live an alternative life, to not carry a gun, to learn how to read, write, and count, to take a bath. And I had the pleasure of going over and speaking with him 2 weeks ago. And some of these kids you could look at and tell it was just bouncing off their cranium.
Mm-hmm.
But some kids received it. And every time I become disgruntled or, why am I doing this? I see those kids who are captivated and want to make a change. That's why we have to do it. We have to make it a priority to tell the truth.
Yeah.
When you have a 13, 14, 15, 17-year-old in a stolen car shooting at police, that is a failure of the home.
It is y'all, and what John and I are talking about is a story we've talked about here a good bit on the show. This is a week ago tomorrow. You've got the deputy comes in, falls in behind this vehicle. They're going to elude. They're going to make a run for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only making a run for it, start shooting out of a vehicle at law enforcement. This is Bonnie and Clyde stuff, man.
This is borderline anarchy.
Yeah.
The failure of the home, it always starts at home. That a 13-year-old, you're not even old enough to have a license
13.
To drive a golf cart. But to not just be in a stolen car, but then to actively engage with police in a running gun battle at school hours, getting out of school through a predominantly black neighborhood and endangering every life around there.
Yep.
What would have happened if those deputies had dispensed, met force with force, and taken the life of a 13-year-old black boy, 14-year-old black boy?
National media would be camped out here. Yeah.
But the alphabet organizations would come out and beat their drums. The so-called social activists would come out and make their money, and everybody wants a check. But there's no one going to the 13, 14, 15-year-old's house saying, what can we do to help?
That's right. And the question is, and this I played this yesterday. I'm going to play the clip again with John A. in the studio at the same time of what Sheriff Birch had to say about this. And this is the question. So Men Unite Against Violence, and something John and Drew have been talking about for a long time, is when we need to get to these kids.
Right.
You know, and if we're talking about kids, here's what Sheriff Birch had to say about some of the kids in that vehicle, three of them. He said first, 17-year-old needs to go to prison, then said this.
At 13 and 14 years old, you know, I think there can still be some rehabilitation done to maybe get them back on track, you know, if you have the right home environment and right involvement with family or friends or the community. But I think once you're 15 and up and you're involved in violent crime, you know, and it's sad to say, I think you're a lost cause, you know, and there may be that one that's worth saving, but for the most part, when they're committing those kind of crimes at that age, there's just nothing you can do. You know, they've committed their life to doing those type of activities.
John, react to that.
Sad but true. That's why we try to get those preteens, 12, 13, 14, mm-hmm. because they still have fertile soil. They still have enough childhood in them. But it's sad but true. And I think that age is even maybe too late. We have to get to the 5 and 6 year olds. Because if
you're listen to this, because this is what John's been talking about. And Drew, 5 and 6 year olds. Well, it's too young, no, John. They're just kids.
Not in 2025. These kids have 10 years of experience by that age. The at risk kids that we're talking about. They've already been in a broken home environment. They've already experienced the lack of love and nurturing and care. So, but our efforts, everything we say starts in the home. That's the only solution. That's it. And every law enforcement organization should have the same message. Listen, raise your kids. Raise your children. Men aren't growing up. Nope. We men are walking around like oversized adolescents. The men that are around are just as juvenile and childish as they are, as the kids are. The home is broken. I don't want to hear this excuse about my mom works 3 jobs. You still have a choice. She has to go to work to feed you. You still have a choice not to get into a stolen car, to carry a gun, not to sell drugs. It always comes down to personal choice. So I agree with the sheriff, and that's why he'll be reelected as sheriff, because he tells it like it is. And we need more people just telling it like it is, just telling the truth. More preachers, more social activists. Hey, listen, yeah, government does have a role and responsibility, but you still have to make the right choice.
Yeah, well, I agree, but I think what it's an eye-opener maybe for some people who hadn't watched this is the age, the cohort age that we talk about. Because we talk about the violence overwhelmingly committed by black males between 15 and 25,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the group, here's the thing. So you leave it at that, and the people will say, well, you're just picking on black people, Sean. But the people that they kill or injure and maim are black people as well.
You know, Drew.
I mean, I don't get how this. Why isn't the innocent person?
Why don't we think about the victims?
Where's their value?
Drew's nephew was the 24-year-old that was shot and killed on Linwood. And his
Ford, yeah.
The shooter was 18. We have a serious problem in our families. To continue saying, I've been called all kinds of names for saying these things. But there, as I said 3 years ago, Memorial Day weekend, there is a serious gun violence problem involving young black men disproportionately relative to population and compared to other ethnic groups. And we have to figure it out. We believe as family. Men United Against Violence believes as family. The family unit is broken, and we have to put shame back into that. We should not glamorize single mothers as being strong and independent. No, if you're so strong, be able to resist the temptation of having sex before the man marries you. We can't say that men should be able to walk around and proudly say how many they have, 8 or 9 kids. No, you're irresponsible, and you should be an embarrassment. That's the only way to truly change this. There are enough. I don't see what government can do if a 13 to 17 year old decides I'm going to steal a car and shoot at the police.
Right.
The only thing we can do is meet their force with force or lock them up forever so they can't harm anyone.
That's what Sheriff says. It's either going to be handcuffs or death.
And that's what it comes down to, because I guarantee you, if someone points a gun at me, the only reason I don't confront with equal or greater force is because it's my time to go. But know that. Now, if you want to play this game, let's play this game. But you can't quit when you want to.
Right, right.
Once you do that, and the fact that they were taken into custody shows a lot of restraint, a lot of professionalism in the men that were pursuing them.
Yeah, I've talked about that in the past, and not just, you know, maybe the cohort and age of my friends in law enforcement, but I think the sheriff said seasoned deputies.
Right.
It's a thing with law enforcement I always talk about. We need to get new people in, but we have got to retain the people in there. My friends that are in law enforcement that are older are absolutely, to every one of them, wiser.
Right. It comes
and not that that young officer won't one day become that wise officer, but they aren't on day one.
No. It takes many years, many mistakes.
You're getting shot at, y'all. Think about it. You're getting shot at.
Right.
Somebody is trying to kill you.
And you have to be so professional and well-trained that you continue the pursuit, because the risk that they're shooting, they pose to the public, is greater than the risk they pose to me. If they're that bold, then they would have carjacked someone else. They would have forcibly entered a home. So I give applause to all the deputies and officers that were involved in that. They did a wonderful job, but the parents should be ashamed. Mm-hmm. The parents should call and say, I'm sorry. They should call and say, my child did it, and I'm sorry. Will the officers or deputies be allowed to file a lawsuit against the mother? Will they be able to sue? Because if they had injured one of those brute beasts, what do you think would have happened? There have been lawsuits falling.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Ty Tungett lawyers from out of town would have been here overnight. So our message is simply, raise your darn children. Be active in their life. Be a part of it. Do something else besides this. The government can't fix this, Sean. We can't keep pointing to fingers. Hey, we have a new mayor coming in. Mm-hmm. Don't have too many expectations that he will be able to stop a 13, 14, 15, 17-year-old from shooting at police.
It has proven itself. I mean, so the laws are passed. Law enforcement enforces those laws. You take the perpetrators, you put them in jail. Okay, but then there's the next and the next and the next and the next wave. We can't wait around. You're not going to put them all in jail and then all of a sudden it's going to stop, because the next wave is ready to come up. Right. So we've got to stop this flow of people into this lifestyle.
Arrest the violent criminals and keep them in jail. No bond. Put them in jail forever. Parents, raise your children. Second, support law enforcement in their efforts to make the city safer. Those are the three things that are going to solve the problem. And government can only be as good as the people that implement those three things. We have to participate, and that's where we're failing. When you have a 13-year-old driving a stolen car.
Y'all picture a 13-year-old. Your parents are picture, or you have a nephew or something. Picture a 13-year-old.
Right. Barely able to reach the steering wheel and the pedals at the same time.
Is driving the car where they're Bonnie and Clyde-ing up, shooting out the back. And coming right back. More John Young right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Back with Mr. Mobile, John Young. Of course, catch the show on Monday nights here at FM Talk 106.5. And if you're saying, well, I didn't catch last week's show or the week before, they're all on our podcast page, the app, the podcast page with the station, or anywhere you subscribe for podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to FM Talk 106.5, and you'll get those podcasts as well. Some text here. Can we go through the normal questions? When are you going to run for mayor?
Never.
We get this every time you're on.
I'm flattered. Sean, I really am. I'm flattered that anyone would think I have the character integrity to serve this great city.
I do.
You are. Oh, yeah, thank you, too.
And I know you will.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Anderson says, do Mobile police officers carry non-lethal weapons like the Byrna? I get that's that thing they advertise. It's like a stun.
Yeah, of course they have. Multiple.
Let's see. Pat said, a few weeks ago, I brought my 13-year-old's best friend to my boy's birthday party. He lives with his grandma. The boy was the most respectful young man I have personally met. He ended up staying the entire weekend at her house because they wanted to have fun. Remember that one where you begged, can they stay?
Right.
And he said, when I tell you, this boy who is black was the most respectful kid I ever met. Way more respectful than my own child. His grandma's doing it right.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
Somebody stepping up and being a parent.
There are. Listen, it's not all black kids. I'd be ridiculous to say that. It's not true, but it's always black kids.
And the people, and it's always, and the people that are, this is the thing that goes, drives me crazy. Somebody would come up to me and say, I heard you and John talking. Somebody who's black said, you and John talking, and you're always talking about the black kids. I said, the people getting shot aren't white people.
Right.
It's black people.
Right. And that's,
they didn't do anything wrong.
But we're only telling a truth, a hard truth that has to be addressed in order to change it. I will never back up on that. If we truly cared about these black children, if black lives truly mattered, then we would give the recipe for life to continue. These crimes are getting progressively worse. 20 years ago, kids were breaking into cars, stealing stereos. They're now shooting at police from a stolen car.
There's a big change there.
Do you guys remember 10 years ago when someone was driving a stolen car, the police officer pulled him over, and he attempted to pull a stolen gun out of and shoot the officer, and the officer shot him? So these crimes are getting progressively worse. These brute beasts are becoming more violent and willing to confront police in a violent manner. What good could come from that?
And at 13 years old.
What good could come from a 13-year-old?
Right, right. Where's the future in that? If the parent is there, and Leo was mad, he said stop using the word parent, but he says, why can't they admit all these feral youths or single, they admit all of these feral youths are from single mothers on welfare. But at 13, what could you have seen? That's why we got to start, because you and I being old guys, what have they seen at 13? Obviously enough that they're doing this, so we need to start talking to them at 5 and 6 and 7.
We have no choice. That's when I speak to kids, and I speak to them all the exact same way. I went to a church in Daphne a couple of weekends ago, and the ages were probably 5 to 15, but I spoke in the same term. I said, you five-year-olds have been exposed to more through your cell phone than I had when I was 12.
100%. I agree with that.
So we have to speak to them, and they're exposed to sex. They're exposed to violence and drug usage and abuse. We have to speak to them in these terms now, because candy coating and soft isn't working.
Mm-mm.
There was once upon a time you could give a Muppet show to a five-year-old to teach a moral.
Yes, we could.
But now we're past that point. These kids can operate computers better than you and I at mm-hmm. their age. I still have trouble texting on my phone. I've used one finger. You know, so we have to speak to these kids where they are, because these crimes are only getting worse. Now, since this story is out, it will only inspire further violent interaction with police.
Isn't that insane?
It is, but that's the reality of it. And how long before something tragic happens?
Yeah, well, and law enforcement can't fix this. They're there to react.
Right.
But we're talking about is proactive means.
Right.
Dirt Digger says, men are age. Our parents kept us straight. We were told police work to protect and serve. And not for the money. They don't get paid enough for what they do for their community. JY is a great man.
Thank you.
And I want to see Keith, too, because Keith is more like you and I in the way we grew up. He said, at 13, I feared my dad enough not to do anything stupid. So not that John and I didn't do things stupid, but big stupid. You and I both, like, we're kind of raised by the same man. Like,
risk versus reward.
Yes.
You know, I was just talking, before I came here, I ate with Drew and Pack, and we were talking about how we grew up, and we knew kids that sold drugs. We knew kids that stole cars. Mm-hmm. You knew kids. We could have easily done any of those things. It was there to be done, but we chose not to. We decided not to. Pack said his mom was working 3 jobs and wasn't home most of the time. So he played sports, but he never, ever would have done anything criminal. Mm-hmm. So it's a choice, Sean. We keep talking about, like, as if black kids are predisposed to be anything.
No, it is nurture versus nature.
Exactly what it is.
If you don't nurture.
And so,
and nurture can also be fear, because you and I have said this 100 times.
Discipline, yeah.
You and I, not like we were both born being perfect vessels.
Mature.
No. And for a while, you didn't do the bad thing because you feared the discipline
right.
that went with it. Now, eventually, you wake up as a man one day and go, oh, I see the moral compass. I see the stuff mm-hmm. I learned in church. I see that you do this because it's right and you don't do that because
right.
it's wrong. But when you're an idiot teenage kid,
right.
it had to be fear.
Right. And it has to be that now, because obviously teenagers are losing their fear of dying.
Yeah.
They have zero fear of dying now. And that would almost make these kids psychopathic, wouldn't it, or psychotic, that they have zero fear of dying. Because once you engage, once you introduce a firearm into any equation, whether civilian, especially law enforcement, there's a high probability that you will die. And Mobile, How long will it be if these kids are now pointing and discharging firearms at police? How long will it be before something tragic happens?
I'll say what it is, before one of them is killed.
Before one of them is killed. How long will it be?
Buddy says the youth of today have no fear in committing crimes, and we'll keep doing it. They're not afraid because the punishment doesn't fit the crime anymore. They're not scared of jail. If a youth commits a murder, he's convicted of capital murder, he could spend 10, 15, 20, or 30 years in prison before he's executed. If the laws were to change to make punishment immediate, it might wake up some youth.
Agreed. We need tougher laws, no bond, and leave them in jail.
But we're trying to, John and I and Drew and everybody in the group, we're trying to not have the kid in that position.
We're trying to avoid that. We'd rather them make good decisions and good choices from the beginning. And anytime someone confronts you or I or Drew and say, you're only talking about black kids, we're talking about criminals. So we're not talking about all black kids. We're talking about black kids that commit crimes. If we decrease the number of homicides committed by black men against black men by 50%, just cut that in half.
How many people will be alive?
Right. And we'd be down to 12 homicides a year.
And the killer doesn't go to prison, and the person they killed is still alive.
Right. It's a win for everyone.
Okay. Then you take it from there and say the people had nothing to do with it. The grandma in church praying, the kid laying on their bed doing their homework, they're all still alive, too.
Right. That's right. 9-year-old Kaylee's still alive, right?
Alive.
The Quentin is still alive.
Alive.
You know.
The children are dead.
Right.
I mean, I don't think we talk about enough.
We don't. We dance around it.
Dead children.
We make too many excuses for it. People talk about arresting your way out of the problem. Yeah, great. Put them in jail that commit crimes, but we want to prevent it. I don't want 13.
Correct. That's what we're trying to do.
That's what we're trying to do. So I drove to Fulton, Alabama last Saturday. Do you know where Fulton, Alabama is?
I have been there before, yes.
You sneeze and you'll pass it.
Correct.
But it is a 90-minute drive on Highway 43.
And then you go 525. How'd you go?
I went 43 to 178.
Okay.
Yeah. Country church in the middle of the woods. That's how much I care about children's lives.
Yep.
I told them, I didn't drive this far to play with you, so let's get into it. And I jumped right into it and told them they have to make a choice. You have to be clean, and we can't back up from that, Sean.
More of this discussion every Monday night right here with Tonight Mobile with Mr. Mobile, John Young. By the way, as we wrap this up too, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it, but run out of time. Oh, yeah. Unnamed texter says, tell you that Tom says hello to our brother Marcus.
So, all right.
Shout out to Marcus. Good to see you.
Good seeing you, too. Marcus is retiring.
Is
second
he really?
Time. Yeah, he's retiring.
We'll have to talk about that when we do this.